again for the remainder of our service tonight to Hebrews chapter 3. I want to draw your attention, especially this evening, to the words there in verse 7 where it says, "Today, if you will hear his voice." Let's just have a wee word of prayer now as we look at this passage together, please. Lord, we do thank thee again today for the opportunity of coming to thee and calling upon thy name. Thank thee, Lord, for the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank thee for the provision that has been made for needy men and women. And Lord, we ask now, as we look in the closing moments of this meeting and consider these words together, Lord, we pray that God would speak to hearts. Those who know not the Lord, may they come to know him. And those who listen in on the internet, maybe tomorrow or the next day or the day after that, we pray that the Lord would bless the word to their hearts as well. For we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. If you ever go to the Holy Land and you speak to the Jews, you will see that they are people who place a tremendous emphasis upon their heritage and their background and the fact that God had been with that Jewish nation in a very special way during most of the history of the Old Testament. I remember hearing of one man who was in the Holy Land and he was seeking to witness to one, and he said, you know, what Israel or what the Jews need is the Lord. And he said, whenever he said that, what he needed was a pair of trainers to make sure he could run as fast as he could, because they do not like anyone telling them how they can have the Lord. They feel that they have the truth and they are very devoted in what they believe. And of course, we know that they're just like sinners everywhere. They need the Lord. When you read the book of Hebrews, most Christians here will know that this book was written to the Jews. Primarily, of course, it's for us all and for all who would ever read it afterwards. But it was written to them by, we believe, the Apostle Paul. He's not named as the human author, but his style of writing is there. His way of handling things seems to be there, and most people would agree that the Apostle Paul was the penman of the book of Hebrews. Now, in the Jewish mind, the greatest man on earth was Moses. And I think it's right tonight to say, as you consider Moses, that in many respects, humanly speaking, he probably was the greatest of men. Now, you may find some fault in his character or some kind of character trait that you do not like in something he said or the way he conducted himself in going about things. But nonetheless, it's not what we think, but it's what the Lord says in his word. And when we say that, we think of the words over there in Deuteronomy, where Moses wrote, I'll read them for you, chapter 34 in Deuteronomy, in chapter 10, he said, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." A mighty man in many ways. And in this book of Hebrews, the writer compares the Lord Jesus Christ to Moses. Now, Moses was a faithful man, but he wasn't perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ was a faithful servant, and he is perfect. And that's the difference. And Moses, or Paul in his writing, sought to show those he was writing to how the Lord Jesus Christ is not a shadow. He's not a Messiah who's coming. He's a Messiah who's already come. And he's a fulfillment of all of the types and shadows of the Old Testament. And as Paul is writing to them, we read these words in verse 7. "Today, if you will hear his voice." And as I thought of this passage tonight, I thought a good title for it would be "Opportunity Knocking on the Heart's Door." Opportunity knocking on the heart's door. When you read the words again, "Today, if you will hear his voice." There's some thoughts come to our mind that we want to leave with you this evening. And the first one is this: that the most relevant message to you, unconverted person, is the message you hear today. Now, when you look at this page of God's Word, the Holy Spirit has recorded nothing of your hope or of your opportunity tomorrow. In fact, God goes further than that, and he forbids any boasting of tomorrow by any of us, for we're told that we're to boast not ourselves of tomorrow, for we knoweth not what a day may bring forth. And when he speaks here of urgent duties which must be fulfilled, very often the word today is used, and you can think of God's word and how many times the word today is used when the Holy Spirit of God is instructing people in a particular course in their lives. When you and I are encouraged to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, we're encouraged to do it today. When we're told to do something for the Lord, well, the word is, son, go work today in my vineyard. The vineyard's there today. The vineyard needs workers today in all kinds of spheres of service. So therefore, for the unconverted person, when we think of the voice of the Lord, the most relevant message for you, you may have heard many messages in the past. Trust you remember at least something of some of them. But the most relevant message for you is today's message. And I want you to notice some things about this message. Notice that man is not totally passive as he sits and listens. Of course, salvation is all of the Lord, but every man and woman and young person is under a necessity as a subject of God to obey the Lord and to do what the Lord says. And we're under an obligation to do that today. And yet as we look around us, it seems that with growing momentum, there is a rejection of God. And with growing even arrogance, there's a turning away from the Bible and a denying of the very truths of God's Word. All around us, speaking to individuals, there's any number of cases where there has been delay when it comes to obeying the voice of the Lord. Men seem not to recognize that when it says here today, if you will hear His voice, that it's really saying to us, it's implied that you have a responsibility to see to. Look what it says in the next verse. Harden not your hearts. Someone said long ago that every day of delay is a day more to repent of, and a day less to repent in. You know, preachers, when it comes to the end of the year, and we're coming to think of a motto text for the new year, we often sit and think about those who are not saved yet. And how, while time does go relatively quickly, in the past year, there have been 12 whole months, and 52 whole weeks, and 7 days in every week. And through all of those days and weeks and months, the unconverted have sat and rejected the Lord. And of all of that, to repent of. And of all of those days less to repent in. If you look over there in Mark's Gospel in chapter 1, it says there, Mark chapter 1, reading in the verse 15, it says, saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. The call that went out all that time ago to those who needed salvation still goes out today. And the voice that comes to you, unconverted person, tonight is a voice that you need to respond to. You have a human responsibility to respond to that voice, and you need to respond to it today. And you need to do what is emphasized in that verse 15 in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and you need to repent. But whenever we think of this message being relevant to you today, and you have a responsibility there, I want you to notice something else under that same point, that the general call of the gospel is a privilege and should not seem like a grievance to you. The general call of the gospel, we generally speak about two calls. There's a general call of the gospel when the gospel is preached. And then there is what we call the effectual call of God, when men and women are dealt with by the Holy Spirit in such a way that they're granted the gift of evangelical repentance and they turn in faith and repentance and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And yet so many people, when you seek to speak to them or you preach in their presence, they look upon this general call not as a privilege but as a grievance. But as the gospel is preached, whether men like to avail themselves of it or not, there is before them sat an open door of approach to God if they will come to God. There is the possibility of you, dear unconverted person, being reconciled to God. This is a time, this is a night of choice opportunity for you. You have soundness of mind. You have health and strength to be here. You have clearness of thought. And I trust that you have recognized and realized that what we're saying is based upon the Word of God, and more than that, that this is a privilege for you. A privilege to listen to the preaching of the gospel. And for those who gather tonight, right across the province, they will never have a better day. Never have a better opportunity. Never have a better time to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we must remember, when we think of those words over there that we read in Hebrews chapter 3 in the verse 7, remember that today will not last forever. Today will not last forever. And the thought of time moving swiftly by, the thought of the day of accountability coming for everyone, ought to prompt men and women to repentance. Just during this past week there, I read the story of the conversion of a man who was called the meanest man in Texas. 1912, there was a great time of turbulence in parts of America, and this particular man had gathered a group of men around him. He had a gang, and such was his hatred for a certain gospel preacher that he had intended to hang him. And this word came to the preacher, and he did not want his family, his wife and family, to be anywhere near if anything just happened. So he did a very courageous thing, and he got his coat on, and he went down to where this man was, and to where them and his fellow travellers were. And he went up to this man and he said, "I'm the Reverend so-and-so, I believe you're looking for me." Now, not many people would do that. But he did that. And the man, he backed away and they backed off. 2 years later, when he looked down in his congregation, this same man was sitting in the back row. Tried to get to him before he got out of the meeting, but he never got him. Some time later, he came into contact with him. I'm not sure how long it was. He came into contact with him, and I'm paraphrasing what I read and cutting a lot of things out, but he got speaking to the man, and the man was known as, and even admitted himself, he was the meanest man in Texas, a wicked man. A man who had a gang around him who were capable of anything. But that man, that preacher, he was an eccentric type preacher, and he dared him not only to come to the meeting, but to sit in the front row. And sometimes these men who are very, very wicked, if you dare them, they're almost like children, and they think, "Well, who do you think I'm afraid of?" And you can handle it in that way. And he did come. And he sat in the front row. And the next week he came back, I believe it was, and he brought 35 of his gang men with him. And that man came to know the Lord. And some years later, when he took very ill, he called for that minister and he went to see him. And he said, "You know, I'm not going to be living very long." And he said, "I want you to know this." He said that when you go to be with the Lord, the first one to greet you there will be me. And he said, "I want to thank you for the day that you ever preached the gospel to me." He told him that the first night he went and listened to the preaching, the second night when he sat at the front, he said, "You hit me with every shot you fired. And I want to thank you for that." And some of his final words to that minister were, concerning the word of God, "Preach it on. Preach it on." And he went to be with the Lord. Here was a man who understood that the call of the gospel was for him. Now, it was his second occasion in church before he came to the Lord. And I'm sure tonight, as you sit in Appalachian Presbyterian Church, this is more than your second occasion. That man recognized that the offer of God's salvation on that particular occasion, he realized, "This is for now. I need to get this now." And he exhorted that minister when he was on his deathbed. He exhorted that preacher to preach it on. To preach it on. I wonder tonight, if it was your last day and I was to come to talk to you and speak with you, and if I were to ask you, "What would you like me to preach on Sunday?" I'm sure you would say to me, "Preach the gospel in all of its fullness." What about yourself? Would you be like the lady years ago who spent ages trying to get people into a gospel campaign, and then the evangelist realized that she wasn't saved herself. He went to her and he said, "What are you? You're working very hard for the gospel campaign." She said, "Yes, these people need to be saved." But she wasn't saved herself. Man or woman, look into your own heart tonight. Recognize that there's a voice that you need to respond to. That is your responsibility. Recognize that the general call of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, should be looked upon not as something which is a grief to you, but something which is a privilege. Then you'll notice as well that whenever you think of this voice, that there are many obstacles. Obstacles abound. The voice of doubt. What if I don't be really saved and I make a profession? Then the fear comes. What about the cost? Pride might set in. What about my lifestyle? And how it is with me and my friends? What about some kind of companionship or other? Again, the simple question has to be asked tonight. Are any of these things worth putting off salvation for? Well, the Bible says, today, if you will hear His voice. This is the most relevant message that you've ever heard, because you're hearing it tonight. And the message is, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. But we'll move on here. There's something else, another thought here. Not only the message that is most relevant for the unconverted is today, but the preacher is only God's messenger. Sometimes people, and it's wrong to do this, it is good to respect each other in the Lord, but sometimes, and it has happened in the past, that people have put a preacher upon a pedestal. Whether he's a Christian or, let's say, in some cult even, they've put that person, due to their personality, they've put him upon a pedestal. And then there's down the line, they've paid the price. Well, I would want you tonight to look far beyond any preacher, for it says here, today, if you will hear His voice. And every time you listen to the preaching of the gospel, you're listening to the voice of the Lord. In fact, the voice of Christ is associated in this chapter to the voice of Moses. You'll see there where it says, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Israel had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. They stood in the very edge of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. 12 spies were sent out, and 10 of those 12 spies despised the land. They wouldn't go in. Caleb and Joshua, of course, we know would have. Now, this was a momentous decision for Israel. They made the wrong choice, and they turned back. They did not heed the voice of Moses. They refused to enter into their inheritance. And they were condemned, if you read Hebrews 3, and so on. They were condemned to wander and to perish. Verse 10 there says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Now Moses was the Lord's appointed leader. And the instruction that they received to go in on that occasion was from the Lord. Yes, Moses was the mouthpiece. But the one that was instructing them to go into the inheritance was the Lord. And God the Holy Spirit links this occasion with the voice of Jesus Christ in preaching. Because the preacher is nothing more than the Lord's spokesperson or the Lord's messenger. That's all he is. Look what it says there. Wherefore, when you see wherefore, it means because of this. Because of this. Today, if you will hear His voice, you're exhorted not to harden your heart. You need to look beyond the preacher tonight unsaved. And you need to recognize that you may listen to gospel preaching. It's the voice of the Lord that is speaking to you. That the preacher is only a message boy. You'll notice that this voice is a divine voice. Now, it is indeed the voice of authority. Do not fool yourself tonight, unsaved person. God has a right to speak to you. He has a right to give you the opportunity to come to Him. And if you reject Him, He has the right to tell you that you're going to be damned. We deserve nothing from the Lord. It's right to say tonight that most of us are diligent enough in keeping our appointments in everyday life. We have to do that. Do our best to be there if you've arranged to meet some. But here's God's voice. And God's saying, well, He's saying, come today. He's saying, find forgiveness today. He's saying, find grace today. Find assurance today. Find contentment today. Find love today. Do you remember whenever the Lord came to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned, and what he said to shouted out in the garden was, he called out, "Where art thou?" That was the voice of love. It wasn't the voice of rebuke. He loved Adam and Eve. And he still cries out to men and women today to search their own heart, and he really says to you tonight, "Where art thou? What is your standing before the Lord tonight?" Remembering this, that the preacher is only God's messenger, the voice that you hear is really, the message that you hear is from the divine voice of God. Notice, as we mentioned, that he does call in love, speaks words of mercy, words of pardon. The hymn writer said, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest." And all around us this evening, the voices of the world are clamoring for people's attention. And you know something? They're getting their attention more and more. And people are inclined more and more to yield and to give their allegiance to the voices of the world that clamour for their attention. This is a most powerful voice. Notice that as well. This is a voice of one who never changes. Perhaps over those times in your long distance past, whenever you considered coming to God, maybe there's a crisis time in your life, and you said, "Well, if all becomes good again, I will get saved. I know a person, and there are several difficulties, and they asked the Lord to help them, and he did, and they got those difficulties sorted out, and there were even certain situations in their life, and they kept saying to the Lord, 'If you do this, or do that, or do the other, I will be definitely saved.'" Now, they are converted tonight and have been saved for a long time, but it took ages. And time after time, they kept going back on their word. But you know, the Lord never goes back on his word. He never goes back on his word. You look at your heart tonight, it's dark because of sin. And you cannot perhaps see that in any way you can be brought into the light because you're so captivated by this present age and the spirit of the age. Well, God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, in a natural and physical sense, can do the same for your heart. But look at something here in the verse. It says, "Today, if you will hear his voice." What countless numbers of people there are tonight. And even at this moment, they're reflecting on perhaps their whole existence, a long number of years. And they can look to this situation and say, "If only." And they can look to some other time in their life and they can say, "If only." Well, it says here, "If today, if you will hear his voice." It's not to say that he's not speaking. It's just to say that men and women are reluctant to listen to him in a way that would appropriate the message to themselves. The voice of love. It's a divine voice. It's the most powerful voice. But notice something else here. Men and women who do not obey this voice eternally pay a great price. Says there, "Harden not your hearts." You see, the human heart is already hard. Over there in Ephesians and chapter 4, verse 18, we read these words. It says there, speaking of the unconverted, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Hardness of heart and blindness of mind goes together. And there is an awful ability in man to continually harden his heart, to persistently withstand and oppose all means that are afforded to him to keep him from sin. Do you see where it says in our text tonight, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts"? That word "harden" is derived from a word that signifies hard skin. For instance, on the foot. You can picture a person perhaps 30 or 40 or 50 years of age. They've been walking around all of their life in their bare feet. The skin on their feet is very hardened, and that's what the word here really refers to. Now, when you think of a foot like that, it's not easily pricked. It's become hardened over the years through being in contact with the ground, and it's not easily pricked. And you take a man or woman who's listened to the gospel for years, their heart can become so hard that no matter how often the preacher preaches, and no matter how plain he seeks to be, they're not easily pricked. The word that we're looking at here, this word harden, it actually signifies not only a hard skin, but it also signifies a stone. Again, that speaks of the heart, doesn't it? Speaks of the hardness of the heart over there in the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter 11, it says there in verse 19, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. You notice there, first of all, and briefly, the position of many. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. Men and women who are not saved have a stony heart. And if anything, it's got harder as the years have gone by. But notice there not only the position of many, but notice the person that is needed. Continually there it says, I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within them. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. Dear unconverted person, if the Lord doesn't give you a new heart, I can't do it. I can't do it. The position of many, the person that is needed, notice the provision, and will give them an heart of flesh. There's another word that is used in Scripture to set out the hardness of the heart, and it's taken from another Greek word which signifies to dry up or to draw out the moisture. To draw out the moisture. Dryness makes hard. So when you consider this word, harden, how aptly it describes the situation of so many tonight. Men and women whose heart has become so hard and so dry that preaching has little, if any, effect upon them. What an awful tragedy for them. Consider the point that we're looking at the moment. That men and women will pay the price eternally if they do continually harden their heart. And it's right to say tonight as well that man nourishes the natural hardness of his heart by turning a deaf ear to God's word. When we read in God's word about sin, men try to hide their sin. They presume an awful lot when they consider and look at themselves. They turn to material things for security. They fill their mind with the entertainments of today. And in all of these things, there's that contribution to the hardening of the heart against God. Cannot go unpunished. The answer is no. It cannot go unpunished. And you're a privilege tonight, men and women, that the Lord has given you the opportunity, not because of any great ability in me, but the Lord has given you the opportunity tonight to listen to the gospel again, to hear the voice of the Lord again. But the question is tonight, are you going to apply God's truth to your own heart? Are you going to recognize that you need to look beyond the voice of the preacher and recognize the voice of the Lord speaking to you and calling to you in mercy and in love? If you look at verses 13 and 15 in this chapter 3 of Hebrews, you will see that there is great urgency. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Again, verse 15, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Moses, you see, when he spoke, he was inviting the people. No doubt he was pleading with them. He recognized that what Caleb and Joshua had reported was right, and he really wanted to go into that, into the promised land, into the inheritance, and they wouldn't go. They wouldn't have any of it. And it is not the preacher tonight that invites men and women to be saved. Primarily it is the Lord. He invites you to come. Over in the book of Revelation there in the chapter 3, we read these words, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Very often those words are preached in a gospel meeting to speak of the Lord knocking at the heart door of the unconverted. Knocking, seeking admittance. You see, the Lord gives you opportunity after opportunity, but he will not force his way into your life. Tell me tonight, as opportunity knocks at your heart's door again, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? I have one final reference to turn to. It's Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It's a sad verse, but it's a verse that is appropriate for many people, because there are so many people in this province, and year after year month after month, they've hardened their heart. Could these words be written over you? Could we write across a title across you tonight that you've been often reproved, you've hardened your neck, and you shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy? Avail yourself of that remedy tonight. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. This is your day of opportunity, men and women, and we trust that you will avail yourself of it and give heed to this voice and come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.